Welcome back to Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. All right, y'all, I've got to be honest, I'm doing a little bit of fangirling right now because our guest today is Sean Dietrich, who most of you probably know as Sean of the South. So thank you so much for being here today, Sean.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, this is a real treat. I'm just so grateful that you joined us today. And I'm sure many of our followers follow you on social media and absolutely love your posts about Mother Mary and Marigold and, of course, your beautiful wife, Jamie. I feel like a lot of people probably feel like they know you already. But for those who, you know, might be living under a rock who don't know you yet, they're going to, though. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, how you got into writing.
Let's see. I got into writing when I was a kid, and I liked to write fiction stuff. And then I went through a long dark ages period of my adolescence, and I left school when I was like in the seventh grade. And so then I came back to school as a grown man, and I got all my stuff done. When I finished college, community college, I had all this English stuff in my head that I wanted to get out. So, you know, I started writing.
Okay.
And that's when it became in earnest for me. And so ever since then, I've just kind of been this guy.
Yeah. You've been on a roll since, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Well, what is it that you like to write about the most? What do you keep going back to? What topics?
Well, the Old South, for sure. The part that I feel is disappearing a little bit. Culture, I mean. Our culture. I love those simple things that, you know, our culture and nostalgia. I like to write about nostalgia. I also like to write about people who are unique or people who are ordinary and don't see themselves as unique, but really are. Let's see. I don't know. I like to write about anything that's good and positive. So I try to focus that in that direction.
Yeah. I know. You never know when I'm reading your Facebook posts that, you know, is this going to be a funny one? Is this going to be one that I'm going to be like, oh my gosh, like I'm sitting here at my desk crying at work, you know, like I wish I'd read this at home.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine. We all need a good cry every now and then. But yeah, it's always, I love those stories about the, like you said, the ordinary people who don't see themselves as unique. Those tend to resonate, I guess, the most with me.
Oh, well, I mean, those kinds of people resonate with me because I am one, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. So what places tell the best stories, do you think?
Places. I would say the stories that attract me would be little off-the-road cafes. I find more stories in these places, these community eateries that not, you know, not big old chains, but that's, I can't rule that out either because I love Waffle Houses and Cracker Barrels. You can see you can see a lot of stories happening in places like this. So I'm always on the lookout for stories found in places where people are breaking bread. Yeah. Something about it opens me up or opens them up or things get good inside a little cafe.
Yeah, the mom and pop shops, the hole in the walls. Yeah.
Yes,
those definitely. Are usually the best food too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, you travel all around the country performing and speaking, so kind of bringing it back local here to North Alabama. What are some unique places here in North Alabama that you've enjoyed visiting?
I love it all, especially North Alabama. Speaking as someone who travels outside Alabama, I find that Alabama, especially the north part of the state, is underrated. Mm-hmm. You know, people talk about Tennessee, they talk about Georgia, they talk about the Carolinas, but there's not a whole lot of the beauteous nature of Alabama, North Alabama, listed in the collective conversation. So I try to be an ambassador when I leave. But let's see, last week I was in, where was I last week? We were in North Alabama somewhere.
We're all over the place, huh?
Yeah, we are. Let's see, my favorite place, I love Decatur at the Princess Theater. I love Gadsden. Mm-hmm. Huntsville's a little too much for me. yeah, I just love it all.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the Prince's Theater, and that's where, well, no, that isn't the first place I saw you perform. I saw you at the Governor's Conference years and years ago, and that's where I first, I guess, was introduced to you. You had spoken at one of the breakout sessions, and but yeah, the Prince's Theater, you performed there, I guess it was in 2020. It was right before everything shut down, and you were there, and it was such a good event. What was it like to perform in a place like the Prince's Theater that's so historic?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, I was in the dressing room, and I saw posters, I think, of Ray Charles. I think that's what it was, yeah, because I remember he had played there, and, you know, he's one of my heroes. And I looked at that and thought, wow, you know, I'm going to be on the stage where Ray Charles was. Oh, it was really special. Was that the time, was there a band with me that night? Wasn't there?
No, it was just you.
Just me? Yeah. Well, I've performed there once with a band, and that was really fun, too. They're a local band out of Decatur. They were. I don't know if they're together anymore. That was a fun night.
Yeah.
Both nights.
Yeah. I remember leaving just feeling like your heart was just full because you laughed at all the church humor. I love your denominational humor with the churches. I mean, because I grew up going to a Church of Christ and then also to a Baptist. So those are kind of, you know, vastly different there. Uh-huh. And then I've also been to a Methodist church for a while. So having that experience, it was like, oh, yeah, spot on.
Yeah, I love to laugh about those kinds of things. They're just, it's so funny. And that's, to me, because those are some of our differences, but really they're not big differences. They're just little enough to be funny, you know.
Right. And it's funny because it's true.
That's right.
Yeah, that was an interesting night. And I also saw you not long ago at High Point Market, a local coffee shop.
Yeah.
And you had done the bluegrass. Wait, what was it called? The bluegrass.
Yeah, bluegrass and coffee, I think.
Coffee. Yeah, bluegrass and coffee, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, that was an interesting night. So do you want to talk a little bit about your performances that you do?
I love being able to do it. You know, when the pandemic happened, we were on the road like 80% of the year. Then the pandemic happened and we were just shut down. Now that we are back, now that it's back, we're at full velocity. I mean, we're booked out a long way in advance. I guess the whole world is just kind of back. So it feels so good to be with people again.
Yeah.
Especially as somebody who does an entertainer, I guess you'd call me, you miss that connection with people. So it's great to see people and hug their necks again. And
yeah,
you know, that's my socialization.
Yeah. So. See all your followers, and that's really cool. So when you do your live performances, what type of music do you typically play?
I like to play, old music, old hymns for sure. I play a lot of old gospel and hymns. I play the music that my daddy would listen to, like Hank Sr. and kind of more in that classic country vein. And then I like to play traditional folk American melodies, like Hard Times, Come Again No More, and Didn't My Lord Deliver Daniel, those kinds of things, old traditionals.
Yeah, well, since you're talking about hymns, we ask our Facebook followers each week when we do a podcast, you know, some of the questions they want asked, and I always choose a question. And so the winning question this week was, what is your favorite gospel song?
That's a hard one because I have several, I guess, like everybody else, but I really like Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Yeah.
It's got such a mournful melody, but it's also got such a great set of lyrics that give some good sentiments that I particularly like. So Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. I also like What a Friend We Have in Jesus. That's such a great melody. And it's also just a rich set of lyrics. That's one thing that I'm not a fan of when it comes to like the more modern churches. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to get into the newer music. I love the old music. Yeah. I see the newer music and it's got very simplistic lyrics, but then you look at the old hymnals and you're reading poetry set to music. Real good writers.
Yeah. We try, you know, at my church, we always try to mix some of the contemporary with also some of the old hymns, you know, because it's like you said, those old hymns, they stick with you.
And they connect me to my grandparents and my great grandparents. Mm. Somehow I feel connected to my ancestors when I sing that. And I feel like there's this thread between us of, you know, the circumstances and the times that we live in are different, but we have so many of the common problems, so many common issues that we all face. And I love thinking in those terms.
That is so cool. Well, I know you've also written a lot of books. Do you want to tell us about some of the books, or maybe your latest book that you've written and what it's about?
Oh, Lord. The newest one is called You Are My Sunshine, and it's about a trip my wife and I took, and it was her idea, and it was a horrible idea, and it was a 350-mile bike ride, and I'm not an athlete. And after it was done, it was such an arduous, painful journey that I thought to myself, there's nothing redemptive about this. I better write a book about it. So that's how that came to be. And we're not athletes, so the book ended up being a little more humorous than I expected because we were your unlikely protagonists.
I have that book. I have yet to read it, but now it really is. It really intrigues me. I need to begin it tonight. Absolutely.
Well, don't expect much.
Because the title, it just sounds so, you know, upbeat. And of course the cover is so beautiful with, you know, the sun and the two of you, you know, riding the bikes. And then you're like, this was the worst trip ever.
ever.
I love that kind of like that paradox there you've got with the cover and then, your description. That's great. But I'm sure that you made the worst trip ever. I'm sure you made it incredibly funny. So,
well, it was
maybe
tragedy is funny in and of itself. So I didn't really have to try. It just came out that way.
Oh my goodness. Well, one of your other books that I absolutely loved that you wrote was Stars of Alabama. Mm. What was your inspiration behind that book?
Well, first of all, thank you. I have found myself in a family tree of Alabamans. Being a Florida guy, mm-hmm. we were only, when I started that book and the place I grew up, I was only about 40 miles from the Alabama line. And my wife is from Alabama, so they're all from Alabama. And they kind of welcomed me into their family. And all my friends were Alabamans. We kind of mingle so closely at that part of the panhandle. We're not really sure what we are. They call us L.A., Lower Alabama. So I wrote this as an homage to those people, to those incredible folks, and collected stories that I'd heard from the Great Depression and stuff. And some of that worked its way into the book. And that was just how it started. I worked for a few years on it.
Yeah, it was once I began it, it was hard to put down. It was one of those books that, and I love those books when you are upset when, you know, someone interrupts you or you think, oh my gosh, I've got to go to sleep tonight or, you know, and you have to put it down. So it was really good. So
well, I'm flattered.
Listeners, you need to get it.
I'm flattered. Thank you.
You're welcome. Absolutely. So how does being a writer help you to be a better musician and then maybe vice versa?
That's an interesting question. No one's ever asked that before. interestingly, I grew up playing the piano. So I started playing piano when I was age 9. And I played in church every Sunday and for choir practices too. They really used me. And so I played, you know, for years. And then when I got a little older, when I was in my teenage years, like even 14 was as early as I can remember, I played in, you know, beer joints and places I shouldn't be. And then I became sort of a musician, a working musician. I had a day job and I had a night job. So I worked 7 nights a week sometimes playing music hither and yon. I mean, I traveled everywhere to do it. I mean, in the Southeast. And, you know, it's not like I made great money. It wasn't about that. I just liked to play. Well, when you take a break from playing piano for a little while, your fingers get stiff and you can't play anymore. That's really weird. It doesn't take long, like a few days. You take a break and you got to kind of work your way back into getting fluid again. Well, since I have become the writer that I do, that I am now, writing all the time, my fingers are moving every day. Yeah. And so I can go months now without playing the piano and go right back to it. And I don't feel like I've lost anything, which is the weirdest thing, because every day my fingers are moving on that keyboard for, you know, for many hours. And so the brain is communicating with those phalanges and keeping them loose. So that's really, that's something I never expected. But whenever I sit down at the piano, it's, I'm always loose. It's, so that's nice. And vice versa, music and writing. I would say that my favorite writers are musicians. And I'm not saying that they're musicians of notoriety. I'm just saying that my favorite writers have a degree of musical interest. I've always found that to be the case, but it's always kind of an after the fact discovery that I find out, oh, he's a musician. Well, that makes sense, because there is something musical about good writing to me. Mm-hmm. It's a rhythm thing. It's a, the syntax has good rhythm to it. And that rhythm also translates into the English language in a beautiful way. You can tell when a sentence needs another few words, if you know, in the musical mind, you can tell, okay, I need a few more words, or I need to take out words because I don't like the rhythm of this. And even the way English teachers will tell you to process your own work is to read it aloud, because your ear will hear your the things that aren't right, because it's like music. So I've always felt that being a musician kind of helps me with some of the issues I face with, you know, writing.
Yeah. Okay.
That was a long
That's
answer,
interesting.
Huh?
Yeah. It was a good answer, though. It was perfect. Yeah. I used to be a former English teacher, and I would tell my students the same thing, like, read it aloud. You could hear.
Yeah.
Okay. This, and especially like if you're writing choppy sentences, you know, I went to the store, I bought milk, I bought, you know, you're like, you can hear it when you're reading it aloud. You hear that, like, oh, wow, that is like, you know, start, stop, start, stop. And it doesn't have that, you know, kind of,
there's
like
an ear thing to reading. Yeah. You know, when you read and you're hearing what you read in your head.
I love to write. And when I, before I hit that post button, or when I used to keep my blog up to date, but I would always read it aloud. I did that. That's cool. Mm. Maybe I have like hidden musical talents that I didn't know
about. You could see what I'm saying. There is something about it. There's a link. I haven't quite found it, but there's a link.
Well, I know I don't sing very well, so I know it's not my voice that's the music part of me, but I always thought that I was meant to play an instrument other than the tambourine, you know, because anybody can play the tambourine.
Well, it's not too late. It's not too late. One of my interviews I'd done a long time ago was this lady in our town in Walton County, and she was 90. She's passed now, but she was in her mid-90s when I interviewed her. I went to her house, and she had a big grand piano in her den, and her name was Hilda, Miss Hilda. And Miss Hilda had started playing piano when she was 73 years old.
Oh, wow.
And she practiced after her husband died. She had always wanted to learn how to play. Mm-hmm. So she got the piano. She drove a few hours into town to get lessons from a lady. And she would come back after her lesson. She would practice for sometimes 6 to 8 hours at night because her husband was gone. She had nothing else to do. After a few years of this, she got her first gig at a local restaurant at the Red Bar. And she was the first musician at the Red Bar down in Walton County, where I'm from, which is a place kind of known for their music. And she played this upright piano for dinner every week. And then she started getting all these gigs around town. And she was this little 80-year-old woman, 90-year-old woman all throughout her life playing piano at these fine restaurants. And she learned as an older woman.
That's so cool. And I love how you talk about the people, you know, make the best stories and these people. And, you know, that's kind of what I've noticed from doing this podcast is, I mean, it's about unexpected adventures in North Alabama. So it's about the places that you can go and see and things you can do. But it's also those people who are in those places.
Yes.
And I do go back to this one episode, and I know if Adam is listening, Adam Stevenson, I talk about him a lot, but that episode was probably one of my favorites. He's a mural artist, and he's from Decatur, and he's got some art here in Decatur and then in Athens, and it's just really cool when you, you know, you see that art and you think, oh, that mural is so beautiful. But then when you hear the story, you know, the inspiration behind it, you think, oh, wow. Like, it just has more of a rich experience when you know, like, okay, this mural is about his late sister, or this mural was about his grandfather and his father. And, you know, and so it really does add that extra dimension, you know, that richness, I guess you could say.
I love that. So,
I am so grateful that you were on our episode today. So thanks for joining us.
Oh my, it is my pleasure. I appreciate you even asking me.
Well, we appreciate you and your writing, your music, everything. So tell our listeners where they can find you on social media.
Basically just Google me if you want. That's my name, Sean Dietrich, SeanDietrich. They used to call it Rich Diet or Diet Rich, DietRich. And I was a chubby kid, so that really went over well. So you can just find, you can find me. I'm kind of all over the place.
Or Sean of the South. We can.
Yeah. Or Sean of the South.
Find you there.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. It was either that or Sean with the wind.
Sean with the wind. Oh my goodness. That could be your next book title.
I missed out. I did. Thank you.
There you go. Yep. There you go. Thanks again for being here. I really appreciate it.
I've enjoyed myself. Thank you.
Yes. Well, you can find North Alabama's social platforms linked in the description. So thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next time with more about North Alabama adventures.